Every household needs money to provide food for the family, shelter, education for our children, and decent retirement. So why does Jesus say, sell your belongings and give alms? The reason, of course, is found in the next line. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. This teaching flows from the primordial teaching of Jesus, which comes just before in the same chapter of Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, when he says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all the other things will be given to you. In other words, if our main objective in life is to love the Lord and to serve him by serving our neighbor, especially the poor, our needs will be taken care of. It doesn't mean we're going to get rich, and it doesn't mean all our desires are going to be fulfilled, but all our needs will be. This is the promise that Jesus makes in the gospel. And so then he gets into the next teaching, which is sell your belongings and give alms. In other words, have that attitude of detachment and sharing and generosity, not be tight and holding on and being anxious and worried. The one that I thought of more than anyone else when I read this gospel was St. Francis of Assisi, probably the most beloved saint of all time, not only by Catholics, but also by other non-Catholic Christians and even non-Christians. He embodied, perhaps more clearly than anyone I know, the teaching of today's gospel, that freedom of spirit, that generosity of soul, that being in love with Jesus Christ. Francis began his life as an unlikely candidate for greatness, much less sainthood. He was born in 1182 in a beautiful little city called Assisi, which is on the Italian map. You've got Florence up here, Rome down here, and kind of in the middle is Assisi in the Umbrian hills. It's built on a hill. It's surrounded by an ancient wall. And Francis was born into a very wealthy family. His father was Pietro di Bernardone, who was a cloth merchant and, in our money, probably was a multimillionaire. And so Francis had a very carefree youth. He was a very popular young adult in the city of Assisi. He was sometimes a street brawler. He at times ran around with the wrong crowd. He chased after women. But after the age of 25, we see a different Francis, a young man deeply in love with Jesus Christ and desirous of serving all God's people, especially the poor. What caused him to change so dramatically? It seems that Francis began to change from a superficial adolescence around the age of 20, when he decided he wanted to have some glory by being a soldier and going off to war. So the city-state of Assisi went to war against Perugia, a nearby city, which today is famous for chocolate. And they captured a lot of the Assisi soldiers, including Francis. And they put him in prison for a year. Finally, his dad was able to ransom him from prison, but he came back very different. He was extremely depressed. All of his plans to be great and popular dashed. And he had never taken his Catholic faith very seriously. You know, he was baptized, but he never really prayed, never really believed deeply in God. But now, with this depression and this sickness that he also had coming out of prison, he started praying like never before. And his favorite place to pray was in the chapel of San Damiano, which was below the wall. So here's the city up in a hill, and down below, then you have the walls, and down below, there's this ancient church which was crumbling. It had no roof, and the walls were just, you know, gradually coming apart. But there's this beautiful cross in there, a crucifix called the San Damiano cross, kind of Byzantine style. So Francis used to kneel in front of that cross for weeks and weeks and weeks, and he prayed the same prayer each day, which was, O most high and glorious God, enlighten the darkness of my heart. Grant me a right faith, firm hope, perfect charity, profound humility. Lord, grant me wisdom and discernment to carry out your holy and true will. He was seeking to know God's will for his life. He was so confused. He didn't know what he was going to do. And after a number of months of praying in a very persevering way, one day from the cross, he heard Jesus speak to him with his ears. And Jesus said three times, "Francis, go and repair my church, which you see is falling down. Francis, go and repair my church, which you see is falling down." Now, if you heard Jesus speak to you, you'd probably act on whatever you heard. So Francis immediately ran up to his house. They lived in this big, beautiful mansion. And his father, being a cloth merchant, there was a lot of very expensive cloth up there. He got a bunch of it, put it on a horse, went down to the city square, sold the cloth and the horse, and took the money and bought bricks and mortar to go down and rebuild that chapel, the San Damiano. That was his interpretation of the message. Go and repair my church, which you see is falling down. That was not what Jesus meant. What Jesus meant was, go repair my Catholic church that in many places is mediocre, lax, and corrupt. Francis didn't know that at the time. So he went down there and he starts rebuilding the walls of San Damiano. Well, as you can imagine, his father comes home. He is not exactly thrilled that his son has, you know, sold hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of his prized cloth. So he comes down to the chapel, grabs his son, takes him up to the house, and throws him into a prison cell in the basement of their big mansion. Then the father, Pietro, goes off on a business trip, and Francis's mother, Lady Pica, had a much more tender heart. She let Francis out. And Francis went right back to that church and continued his brick-and-mortar work. Well, when his father came back, that was it, the last straw. He comes down to the chapel. He says, "I want all that money back." And he takes it. "We're going to the bishop, and I'm going to demand justice." So he takes Francis up to Bishop Guido of Assisi. And Bishop Guido was a wise man. And he said to Francis, "You should not be taking your father's money to do the work of the church." And let me quote, there are some bystanders there who wrote down what he said. He says, "Do not be afraid, for the Lord will be your help and will abundantly provide you with whatever is necessary for the work of his church." And then Francis got up, and as his biographer tells the story, I'll read this part of it. He got up joyful and comforted by the bishop's words. And as he brought the money to him, he said, "My Lord, I will gladly give back not only the money acquired from his things, but even all my clothes." And going into one of the bishop's rooms, he took off all his clothes and, putting the money on top of them, came out naked before the bishop, the father, and the bystanders, and said, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. Until now, I have called Pietro di Bernardone my father. But because I have proposed to serve God, I return to him the money on account of which he was so upset, and also all the clothing which is his, wanting to say from now on, 'Our Father who art in heaven,' and not 'My father, Pietro di Bernardone.'" This is a very dramatic scene, a decisive break between Pietro, this very greedy, super wealthy man who wanted his son to be greedy and super wealthy just like him. And Francis had this encounter with Christ that was so powerful and so real that he knew he had to follow it through to the ultimate consequences. And in his case, he had this intuition. It meant he had to break from the values of his father and start off on his own. And the nakedness was kind of a symbol of that. So the bishop, of course, is terribly embarrassed. He's got this naked young man in front of him. So he throws some clothes on him, and everybody's completely shocked. And Francis then starts dressing kind of like a monk with some rags almost. And he goes around the town asking for bricks and praying blessings on people when they give him bricks to use for the rebuilding of San Damiano. Well, you can imagine, he was like one of the most popular kids in town. He was, you know, always the life of the party at all the, you know, the young adults' affairs. And they thought he was nuts. This guy is completely losing it, they thought. And so they ridiculed him. They made fun of him. They threw eggs at him. but he just kept blessing people and speaking about the new love of his life, Jesus of Nazareth. Well, eventually, people realized that he was very serious, and he was not nuts. And some other young men in the town, even some very wealthy and well-known young men, decided to leave everything they had, and they came to join Francis. They wanted to live this new kind of radical dependence on God and sharing the love of God with their whole being. Eventually, about 12 young men came to join Francis. And even though he had great spiritual gifts, he was a terrible administrator. He didn't know what to do with all these guys. So he said, I need to go to the Pope and get some advice. So he wrote up a little proposal for this new kind of life that he was trying to live with these young men. And they went off to Rome barefoot. And they arrive at St. Peter's and they got an audience with the Pope. And the Pope, a few days before, had a dream in which he saw the Cathedral Church of Rome, St. John Lateran, falling, and this very poor-looking beggar holding up the church with his shoulder. And the Pope was very upset by that dream because he thought it was some kind of omen that the church is in terrible danger, but that this beggar was going to help hold the church up. So when Francis came into the audience hall and the Pope looks at him, he says, that's the guy who was in my dream. And so, much to the surprise of all the cardinals and the members of the papal court, the Pope gave his total support to what Francis wanted to do. He blessed his new venture. And even though Francis wasn't a priest, he was a layman, and all the other guys following him, they're all laymen. He says, you have now my blessing to go preach repentance to the whole world. And Francis left, and he began to preach throughout the Italian peninsula and eventually off into other countries. And by the time Francis died, 10,000 men came to join him. And that young woman came to join him, who became a very famous woman in the history of Christianity, Clara of Assisi. She founded a female branch of contemplative nuns. And then a lot of lay people who were businessmen and family, mothers and fathers or single people began to join him because they wanted to live this kind of new spirit, but as people in the world who had to have money and pay their rent and so on. So there was three groups of people that became to follow him. And we're talking about thousands and thousands of people before Francis died at the young age of 46. And the Catholic Church changed dramatically. A real return to the sources of the gospel, more simplicity of life, love for the poor, outreach to the sick, stronger fraternity among the people of the church and beyond, and outreach to the Muslims with real love. He went to Africa, and he had single-handedly, he got through to the leader of the Muslims in northern Africa, and he said, I'd almost be willing to become a Christian if all the Christians were like you. This is the kind of impact that St. Francis of Assisi had. And he had no anxiety about money. He begged for his food. He begged for his livelihood. And he had no anxiety because he sought first the kingdom of God. And to seek first the kingdom of God means my first priority is that God is the center of my life, that Jesus Christ is the love of my life, and that his gospel is the way I live my life. And I'm willing to do anything to live according to his plan and not according to worldly values. And therefore, as Jesus promised, everything is given to us that we need. Doesn't mean we all have to give away all of our clothes and belongings like St. Francis did, but it does mean that we have to put our total trust and confidence in Jesus Christ and his plan for the world and his plan for our individual lives. And then we can experience the same thing that St. Francis did in every fully developed Christian. We will experience that when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things will be given us.